Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't this a good day? If you didn't know it, we're in a new year, 2019. If you didn't know that, you need to catch up. This is an exciting day for us, and if you are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know we love that. We love that God sends us people who are seeking to grow closer to Him, and they've chosen to be with us this morning to do that, so thank you. I hope... you have felt our sincere gratitude that you would come and join with us in worshiping a very good God. And so thank you. If you're new here, the tables in the foyer and the setup that we have today is not typical. This is our ministry fair day. And so we tried, we did this last year and we're doing it again just one Sunday to make it extra convenient for you to find a way to maybe get involved in an area that would fit you and something that you would be excited about and a joy for you to serve in. So that's something that we have. It will happen as we leave this morning. Those that are working those tables will ask you to get a head start. But when you leave, that's available for you today, and we're excited about that. I have to start, and church, I want to brag on you. There are really a number of times throughout, you know, the year, It just hits me continually from time to time how much you do for God and for this church family. And you need to know that was God's intent from the beginning. That's always been God's plan, that the members serve. You are ministers. And so, and I'll just mention a few. Just I want to say, you know, it may be teaching our children. It may be maybe you're a greeter or you help in the nursery. You may be out working in our flower beds around our building. I come up on Fridays and there's a group here folding our bulletins. You may prepare our communion or teach our children in Bible hour. Maybe you just lock the doors or take food to people when they come home from the hospital. You might plan events. You might help with events. On and on and on. I can't name everything. But it is really special to see God's people doing what they do, and it all goes up as an offering to God. And church, you work hard for God. And I want to give you a shot in the arm about that. I want to give you a pat on the back about that. And so our ministry fair today, this is maybe you haven't found your niche yet. And we want you to. We want to make that as easy as possible for you to find your place, your way to serve. Maybe it's a different area that you'd like to work in. Maybe it's just something you want to participate in. We'll have one of our table spots will be about small groups. Maybe small groups is something you would like to participate in. You can go and get some questions answered there this morning. And also, it may be you're one of these that, you know, this is kind of overwhelming in the foyer, and that's a little too much, but could I take something home with me and look through it and see maybe there's something I could do? And so, yes, you can. We have pamphlets about that, new members ministry. So these will be available at the Welcome Center. Some of the tables will have these. Come find me if you can't find one of these, but we want those to be available. You may walk up to a table and say, I'd just like to take something, go home and read it, and if I can do it, I'll call the leader. We have those. Those are at every table spot. There's a paper that you can take with you. We even have our window stickers. If you'd like to put a sticker in the back of your car that says, hey, this is my church family, and let people know that and give you a reason to drive more politely, then take a sticker this morning. We have those. So this is an exciting day. And if you see that there's an area you'd like to serve in that we don't even have, you can't find that we even have that ministry, please come talk to me. We will do everything we can to make it so that you can serve. And maybe it's something that God has led you to come to us that we can do for Him that maybe we've just never thought of. So this is a great time of year for New Year's resolutions. This is a time, and this is a sermon that I want to get you pumped up thinking about what can I do for God this year, 2019. It's common that, you know, early January of a year that all of us, I think, have some tendency to think, you know, boy, I need to do this different, or I need to do that, or some kind of conviction, a New Year's resolution, not even talking spiritually, just something. For example, I'm sure I'm not the only one that, you know, you come off the holidays and you think, I really don't need to be this heavy. I'd like to be, you know, right, a little lighter, maybe a little better shape. So that's common, and I'll confess, you know, that's one of mine. That it's not a spiritual thing. It's just, you know, I've got some, believe it or not, I do have some weights at home, and I have those. And so one of my resolutions, get a little, you know, better shape, get a little pumped up. And when you think of a goal, you need to picture what you're aiming for, right? You need to be able to see a vision of this is what I'm after, okay? And so I have an example of that for you this morning. I have something to, you know, you got to be able to see what you're aiming for. And I have to tell you, I'm not totally sold on the tattoos yet, but, you know, I'm and the hair, I don't even know if I really need that. I think maybe I'm okay without that. But, and I really, I'm not quite aiming for this either, because I can't be the size that, you know, like I can't afford to replace shirts like Brian Benton does when he tears the elastic out of the arms. He's always buying new shirts. I can't do that. I can't afford that. But anyway, we need to be able to dream, okay? Dream and see. So think about us as a church. What does that look like when you dream big and you say, God, I wonder what you could do with us if we would get with you. I wonder what you could do. I wonder what you might do this year, 2019. So many of our resolutions this time of year, you know, by Valentine's Day, it said 80% of people, their resolution's out the window. I mean, they've already stopped. Given up on it, haven't carried through with it. And so, you know, the truth is, with earthly goals, if you give up on your resolution, if it doesn't carry to fruition, that's not really a big deal. But the truth is, God created us. He sent His Son to die for us. The devil would love for us to do the same thing with our spiritual resolutions, wouldn't he? If we set spiritual goals, wouldn't the devil love, just as we give up our maybe weight loss goal, that we also give up and revert back and don't fulfill a spiritual goal? So remember Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the kingdom is the church. You are the kingdom. And this year, if we want to focus on something, if you want to do something different, make it seeking God's kingdom first. So what are we going to do for Jesus this year? Maybe you will be a light to the world this year for Jesus. Maybe we will give generously for Jesus this year. Maybe we will show a changed life. Maybe we'll forgive. Maybe we'll return good for evil and show what that looks like this year. What will we do for Jesus? A year or two ago, my family of six, Stephanie, our girls, and we got the five original members of the group, and we have the newest member, the son I never had, you know, the young Mr. Price. So we have six of us, and we're going to take a family picture and give it to my mother. And so, you know, we made plans about that, and you got to pick a day, you got to pick a time. All the, you know, the ladies in our clan, they've got to get ready. They've got to be ready with their hair, be ready with their makeup, their outfits. Something's got to match. This all takes coordinating. Okay, so, you know, with Colby, we're ready to go anytime. Right now, tomorrow, morning, noon, night, whenever. Right, we're good. We're ready for the picture. Take it. Where do I stand? But anyway, it takes some coordinating. So we did that one Sunday afternoon. And so we go to the park. We have a picture. Yvette went and to take the picture. And so we got all of us out there. And it's cold. So, you know, we got the coats on. And okay, it's time to take a picture. Shed the coats. All right, everybody smile. Pretend it's not cold. You go to these efforts. And I'm just saying, in doing all that, we do for those we love, don't we? And we don't begrudge it. We do for those we love, and we love doing that. So I ask you, how much do we love Jesus? How much do we as a church love Jesus? And what will we do for him this year? There's a verse in 2 Chronicles 15:7 that says, "But you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Now is not the time for us to get complacent. Now is not the time for us to become lukewarm, church. It's not, is it? There will come a day when for eternity we will either be thankful for things we did for God or have eternity to regret what we could have done and didn't. But now's not the time to get weak. We need to be strong. We need to push forward. Isaiah 32:8. I found this verse this week, and I love it. This is, if you were to take one verse from this sermon today, maybe this is it. Very simple, but it's very powerful. He who is noble plans noble things. Some of you are extreme planners, and you probably would not label yourself that, but I would, because some of us are not great planners. That's me. I'm not a natural planner. I'm a natural go with the flow. I think I get that from being the youngest. And growing up, the youngest doesn't have to plan. And the youngest don't even try to plan, right? Because you just get in the car. You do what us bigger people tell you to. Anyway, nevertheless, I'm not a big planner, but I do make plans. We all plan something. It's a sobering thought to say, well, Elliot, what have you planned? And is it noble things or is it just you things? Is it just for me things? He who is noble plans noble things. So our plans reflect who we are. Maybe this year, what you will do for Christ is greater generosity. Maybe with greater generosity with your money, maybe with your time. you may have heard it said one time, you know, if you're giving 10% to God, that there can be a mindset of, well, you know, 10% is God's, 90% is mine. The irony and the fallacy in that is the 90% is God's too. Isn't that right? The 90% is God's. So I'm just saying maybe generosity with our money, maybe with our time, maybe getting involved, and there may be something holding you back from getting involved. Sometimes we're afraid to. We're afraid we will fail. We're afraid we're not capable. We're afraid somebody might expect something and I can't deliver it. Maybe it's doubts. Sometimes it can be stubbornness. I may think, you know, yes, this or that needs to be done. I could do that, but I really think I'm stubborn about it for whatever reason. But church, what happens when Christians get involved in God's business? What happens when Christians get involved in God's business? I've seen person after person come to this church family and attend for a while, be a part of us for a while, and then come a point in their journey with us that they find a way to be involved, a way to serve. And I've seen the change. It's a wonderful thing to see someone going from, I'm a member here, and when you find a way to serve and get involved, it's like you go from being a member to, this is my church. There's some ownership. There's some, I don't know how to fully explain it well, but there's something special that changes. This is my place. This is my family. This is my, there's a connectedness. And it is so strong, I'll tell you, I've not seen people be a part of really any congregation. But in being here for a while, I've not seen people be involved here very long and not get irritated or hurt or offended about something. I've not seen it. And that's from the top to the bottom. And I'll call out Bob and Keith and me and anyone else. When you get involved in a church family, it's not much different than your human family. Get with them a little bit, and eventually something's going to offend. I've been on the giving end of it. I've been on the receiving end of it, right? Here's what's special, though, church. I've seen when you're involved and you're serving in a church and you get offended, It's difficult. You still have to deal with it. But leaving is not what you don't leave. You don't leave. You don't even really think about leaving. I'm hurt, but I'm here, right? And it's different. And so when we're not connected in a serving sense, it's very easy for the devil to take that hurt and I'm out the door. And so when I ask what happens when Christians get involved, it is a special thing. We experience joy in doing what we were created to do. And that is a special thing. If you've not experienced that, I pray that you do. And church, I think most of you have, where you've served in a way that fits you. And you know what? There's no feeling quite like it. So do you ever, let's think about this for a minute. Do you ever wonder why our goals fail? Do you ever have goals or plans and maybe they're so big and then you're like, I don't even know what happened. I really wanted to do that. Sometimes maybe we need our goals to be a little simpler. If you're like me and you have a garage that looks like mine and you go and you say, I need to, this garage is really ridiculously messy. Bunch of junk in here, right? It is not really functional. It is a train wreck. That's what mine looks like, by the way. And if you go to a task like that and you say, it's my goal for this garage to be clean. But if it's so overwhelming, it can be easy to not really fulfill that goal because I don't even know where to start. And the answer and solution is to simplify things into one thing, choosing one thing, focusing on one thing. Maybe it's an extra piece of exercise equipment in your garage and you're like, well, I'm not using that. Now, I'm not going to use it. I might as well make that my focus. Get that out. In your prayer life, for example, what is one thing that you pray that you want God to do? One thing in your prayer life. Maybe it's a friend that you have that's lost that doesn't know Jesus. Or a friend that knows Jesus but is not walking with Jesus. Maybe it's an addiction. And you need God's strength and resources to help conquer your addiction. Maybe it's peace. Maybe you sit in a room full of people you think have it all together, but your world's in turmoil. And you need God's peace. Maybe it's your marriage that's struggling. That's the thing that you pray to God and you need to focus on and pray and ask God. And church, our God is so amazing. I have seen God work and God is so amazing in a marriage. If you pray for your marriage that's struggling and obviously, by the way, it's your spouse that you're praying for, because if your marriage is struggling, clearly, I've never had anyone come and say, my marriage is really hurting, and I tell you what, I'm always doing the wrong thing and saying the wrong thing, and I'm the biggest jerk you've ever met, and if I would just quit, you know. No one ever comes frustrated in their marriage and says, it's me. But here's what God will do. You pray for your marriage and pray, and God will not only work on your spouse and blessing them and changing them. Guess what he'll do? Whether you want it or not, he'll change you. He'll change you. He will, if it takes it, he will take a 2x4 upside your head so you realize, you know what? Maybe some of this is me. God, that's what God will do. So I love this verse, Ephesians 3:20. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God, if you want to change something in your life, get on your knees. And get on your knees and pray and keep praying, but be patient. What the devil loves to do is he'll get a Christian praying and the devil will say, all right, get ready for it. God's gonna work an amazing thing in your life. And when it doesn't happen on our timeline, we think prayer doesn't work. Or God doesn't work. Or God doesn't care about me. And so be patient. Keep praying, because God can do far more than we can think or dream or ask. And he'll do it in your life and he'll do it in our congregation, in this church family, if we will get on our knees and pray to him. I was driving home one day from college, and I was almost to home, Shakota. few miles away, and all of a sudden my electronic stuff on my car starts messing up, and radio, things that are powered, the radio starts acting weird, and air conditioner, anything that's powered from the battery, and it's all kind of goofing up, and then the car starts running strange, and I finally have to pull over. I pull over to the gas station, car's done. So I call, and, you know, long story short, get it with our mechanic, and come to find out battery acid was leaking and ate through the cable, the battery cable. And the point that I'm making, another way of making this point, in your car, you have a vehicle that's for one purpose. That's to get you from A to B. That vehicle, it's amazing how it only takes one thing missing for it to not work at all. Get in your car. If you don't have your key, try to get that to start. Key makes a big difference, right? If you have battery issues with your car, if your battery's gone dead, try to make that thing run without it. We'll just get on without the battery. It doesn't work. There's one thing that can be missing that completely unlocks the power for something to work. And my question is, what is one thing in your life that is missing that maybe you need to change? Just one thing. That could be your spiritual New Year's resolution, to focus on one thing spiritually with me that if I were to get that right or let God change it in me, it could really unlock things for Him. Maybe you need to let go of something that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be. Maybe you're holding a grudge. Maybe it's unforgiveness, pride, bitterness. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's a failure of yours, and Satan keeps haunting you with the shame of something in your past, and you need to let it go. And we have a great scripture from Paul. If you think you need to let something go, imagine being one who called himself the chief of sinners. He said, it is... Hang with me. Philippians 3:13. He said, one thing I do, and that's what I want you to stay with me in, that there's so much we could do. What's one thing you could do? Paul says, there's one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing. Church, we need to press forward. It's so easy, I think, in our culture and in an American church, it's so easy to get things operating in a functional way, and it's easy for us to hit autopilot. I think it's easy for us individually to do it, and it's easy for us as a church to do it, isn't it? Just to hit the autopilot button. We'll just keep on cruising. We have our altitude. We have things functioning in a good way. We have our bases covered. Let's just cruise. And I'm asking you this morning to dream with me, to focus on higher. Where could we go? God, what could you do if I would let you do it? What could we do, church, if we would let God do it? Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord. This is what we need. There may be one thing in your life that God is trying to change. One thing. And if I'll commit it to God, if I'll give it to God, if I'll go all in for God, what will He do? Our theme this year is changed by Jesus. We are Christians, we are changed. And we also have a God that's always trying to make us more holy, more useful, to do greater things with us. And I want to close with a great verse from Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. And that's what I mean. You know, we've talked about sometimes there's something holding us back. Sometimes there's something missing. There's one thing. It's fear. It's doubt. It's guilt, it's sin, there's something. And if I will cast it aside, and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Church, I'm not talking about what you are not able to do. We have members here who are older and their health is declining and they can't do things they used to could do. And that's not what we're talking about. And the truth is those members can still do the most impactful thing any of us can do, and that's pray. And that's go before the Father in prayer. But I'm saying, what can we do? What can you do? There's a couple here who told me recently, they said, we've not been all in with God in this congregation. We've not been all in with our involvement. We've not been all in with our finances, our generosity. We've not. But we are committed to doing that and making that change. And when they told me that, I have to be honest, it was really exciting to me because, number one, it's inspiring for people to admit what all of us can relate to, and that is, I've been on autopilot, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going all in with God. It's inspiring, and it excited me because it makes me wonder and dream, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that family, with what you can use them for? And so I ask you, will you go all in? Satan recognizes these things, and he would love for us to stay lukewarm, half-hearted, autopilot. Will you go all in for God? Church, what will we do for Jesus this year? And we're going to sing an invitation song in moments like these. This is an exciting time to be alive, to be a part of this church family. Like was said earlier, you're not in a hospital bed. You're not somewhere where you're unable to enjoy the fellowship of Christ. And to be here we are, what can we do? And so I ask you to commit to that, to pray about it. We're going to sing this song of encouragement, how great God is and what he does in our lives. And if you're here and you have a need, if you bring a need to us, we'll lift it up to God with you. And if there's anyone here you're not ready to meet Christ, not ready to meet God in judgment, and you know if Jesus comes today, you're not ready, let us help you be ready to be right with God and saved and ready for Christ to come back. Anyway, come as we stand and sing.
In moments like these, I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my heart. I lift up my heart to the Lord. Singing.